Hey guys, welcome to the show. I hope you're having a great day. I'm having a good day. Well, I'm alive. That's good, right? I'm having a good day. I feel good about it. Trey, are you having a good day?
I mean, I'm having a pretty good day, and then I had to hop on a show, so.
fair. I know.
I'm just kidding, brother.
I know this is your least favorite situation to do. Oh, Trey, by the way, just for your information, we ourselves are going to make sure that we are supporting the union during all the strikes. So, you know, please don't try not to promote too many DC or Marvel things during this episode. I'm just trying to give you a heads up for
interesting. Okay.
We're not trying to lose our chance to get ourselves a union deal later.
A free Marvel t-shirt.
Nope. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, you mean a free artist t-shirt.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Free artist.
Yes. Artist that makes
somebody
images somebody for a thing.
For a comic that happens to rhyme with.
Oh, but we can talk about the Amazing Legacy comics.
oh, okay. Yeah, we can. We can also beatbox.
We can. So why don't you start that? We only have like 28 seconds at this point. Hello, guys. I try to be bigger when I be. Did you understand what I'm doing? I gotta ever see everything that I never be, because I'm better be. Did you really know what I was gonna do, my homie? And now I rip rhymes to find the elegance, looking back at my people when they repping it. Yep. And now we gotta do it for my village. Somebody press that button. Oh, we both did it at the same time.
Hitting it, please.
Are you looking for a different kind of podcast? How about informative and clean? It will make you laugh. Scout and Trey, yeah, that's what we do. We got a little funny thing, keeping it true. Hey, we take your topics and all your ideas and bring in a guest and we answer them there. Then we make a freestyle rap and do it for you. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah, that's what we do. Yep, flows for you, flows for you. This is what we do now. This is what we do. Say, flows for you, flows for you. This is what we do now. This is what we do. Say, flows for you, flows for you. This is what we do now. This is what we do. Say, flows for you, flows for you.
Hello. What is happening? What did I bring?
I don't know. That was weird. Yeah. All kinds of lovely technical glitches today. Anyway, let's get it right into it.
All right.
How has everybody's week been? What is the headline of the week? Or rather, what is the headline of the week?
You had to let it go to week, Trey. You just want the headline of the...
We're going to move on.
No. This is... We gotta make sure our production is at least, you know, fifth grade-ish.
It's fourth, so sorry.
Killing me softly with your song. What is going on? This insanity. Okay. Oh Lord.
All right, so we're gonna walk this back.
There you go.
Are you ready, Jason?
I'm just trying to do stuff. Yeah, I'm good. My headline of the week is going to be, what was my headline of the week? I did something good. Trey, what was your headline of the week?
I almost was crushed by a tire.
That's nice. I'm trying to think of something good. My one that happened last week, so you knew about it because I got in a wreck. Let's see. It's going to be... shatters glass.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes.
Is that it? Are you gonna explain the headline, or are we just being left with man? No.
So we say we say the phrase, and then we all come back and explain it.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. My headline of the week, yet another week where I've spent some government money and not found any life elsewhere in the universe.
Nice.
Sorry about that.
Oh, you should have said I spent government money and still haven't found what I'm looking for.
That'd have been better.
Or
I like his, honestly.
Or my car keys are still lost. No. Trey.
Yeah, so I was moving a tire. It's actually one of my friends. I have almost been crushed by a tire multiple times at my work. My friend today moved a giant airplane wheel. I work for Collins Aerospace. And so we basically move a lot of airplane tires, and we service them and wash them and clean them and do all kinds of stuff. So we have to move them from time to time from point A to point B, and they're very big. I mean, like, just think of a normal car tire and make it six times bigger. And that is how big these things are. And my friend was adjusting them at work, and it almost fell on him, because it did fall. He somehow caught it. Someone rushed to help him. It was not filled with nitrogen, so he was good to go, because it adds so much more weight. It was pretty crazy. It almost happens all the time at our work, just because it's a dangerous job. But anyway, that is my headline of the week. I should say my friend was almost crushed by a tire.
Yeah, I said fine. For some reason. It's fine. It's fine. Sometimes headlines aren't true. That's how headlines work.
That's so the how whole life point works. Of them. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, for me, I have the lovely day of trying to get all of our stuff in order. So I try to. My son has a bunch of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse posters, and so we needed to put them in new poster board frames. And I got them for like $4 at Walmart, which was nice. I do love finding clearance items. It makes me so happy. But as I switched them, I had them in glass, and I decided to get distracted and go work on the lighting and stuff for the room. And then my son decided to dance. Shake It Off by Taylor Swift came on, and my son decided that this was the perfect moment to dance on a bunch of pieces of glass. Because, you know, that sounds fun. And so all I heard was a, and I ran in, and I'm just like, no. And then he freaks out, and I'm like, just jump. Don't worry. And then I had to like, then clean up this glass. But then I have my 2-year-old who's just trying to like, who, if she can find a way to hurt herself, will, and is trying to like do it. So then I stick it in a trash bag. I'm ready to go. I lift up the trash bag, and obviously it breaks because it's glass, and glass cut the trash bag in half. So then I have to redo the whole thing, and I only get half the glass, but my kid's like trying to dance on it. So I shove the glass out in the back porch, shut the door, clean up everything else, vacuum up the little things. And then somehow 5 minutes later, my daughter still gets hurt, not by glass, just because my son didn't want her in the room and had to chase her around. And I was like, I tried to defend it. It just didn't happen. It was a fun day altogether, just chasing and keeping people from getting cut by glass. And I did get cut by glass, by the way.
That's not good, but it's probably better that you got cut by glass than anyone else.
Yeah, yeah. I have a lot rougher skin than they do. They have soft skin, so it's no big deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, my head, that's a cool story, by the way. And your friend almost getting run over by an airplane tire. It's almost paling my story into insignificance, because basically what I was sort of meaning by my headline is that I haven't really done anything this week. That's my headline. No. But yeah, it's been a normal week for me, really. We conduct a bunch of research here, and some of that research is into looking for life elsewhere in the universe. And it is like panning for gold, really. And you have to get pretty comfortable with being unsuccessful at that. But bearing in mind, the ultimate reward from that is creating an absolute nightmare for people's children.
Here's the truth. If you do something actually happens, you literally change the world in a matter of seconds. So it's like, I'd rather you not figure it. I'd rather you not find anything.
I think you're not alone with that, actually.
In your mind. So.
Yeah, there's quite a few people that are pleased of the unsuccessful results. But yeah, that pretty much explains my story. So for now, at least, everyone's bedtime stories are still the same.
That's good. No, as my son would say, I did not ask for that decision.
No.
don't you're not allowed that decision. No decision. And he's, I don't want that decision, is what he would say. And then he'd be like, I don't want these bad. I don't want nightmares. No nightmares.
I also failed in my quest. I feel like I'm taking two headlines now. Like, I've literally been a guest on the show for 11 minutes and I'm taking over. I also failed in my quest this week to get Taylor Swift tickets for the UK as well.
I feel like the truth is you'd have a better chance finding life on another planet than getting tickets at a normal price.
It is troubling me deeply that I'm not going to be contributing to the apparent $14 million per night that she's earning for the shows. So, yeah, but I would have, you know, I would have gone there. I would have bought the tickets, but no go for Wembley in London, I'm afraid. So, I'll just be tuning in on YouTube.
Well, see, I don't know about your secondary market. I imagine as bad as ours, but I used to sell tickets on the secondary market, or scalping, okay. This is what they call it. And so for me, now Taylor Swift isn't going to happen, but for any other event, I'll wait till the last minute and wait for all the guys to drop all their ticket prices because nobody bought them. And then really? I'll pick them up. But with Taylor Swift, that's a different situation. Like a good example is there's a monster truck thing happening this weekend. I'm probably going to get $5 tickets, but it's just, really? You just have to wait. They're trying to get rid of because they all buy those things in speculation. But, and that's how the events actually sell out. And so, but it's fine because they've sold things for $500. But anyways, that's enough of that. I think it's time for Trey's favorite time of the day.
It is actually my favorite time of the day, and I hope you both are ready because it's time for a quiz. And that quiz is none other than a planetary quiz. Yes, that's right.
Nice! Folks,
it's about the solar system that we live in, this lovely Milky Way galaxy that we have. And so honestly, it's geared towards our guest, of course. And honestly, I don't even know what he does for a living. I just know that it involves the solar system and probably the galaxy and the universe at large. So without further ado, gentlemen, are you ready for this quiz?
Did he bribe you for this quiz, Trey? Did he send you a PayPal?
This is the first contact of us meeting today.
I don't know.
So as I was saying, are you guys ready for this quiz?
We're ready.
Question number one. Honestly, man, I don't even know your name because we don't have any banners and I didn't get to meet you before we started the show. So
you know what? That was a jerky way to do that, Trey. You could have just put the banner on.
Well, here's another thing is I don't know if Scout was ready today. So
I was.
Awesome. And it's nice to meet you. I am Trey, other known as DJ Sound Effects. That is not a stage name. I'm a DJ. So anyway, moving on.
It is the sound of stage name. I mean, when you're on the stage as a DJ.
It's not a fake name, is what I'm saying. Which is the smallest planet within our solar system? Is it A, Jupiter, B, Mars, or C, Mercury?
That would be C, Mercury.
Okay. Jason, same question.
I would like to see Mercury also.
Phenomenal. That is the correct question. Congratulations, you both get the first one correct. Jason, you get first pick at the second question. The moon called Titan orbits which planet?
Saturn.
This is an open question.
Oh, sorry, Mars. I said Saturn, Mars.
Okay.
Are you sure about that, Jason? Do you want to?
No, do you want to tweet? Do you want to tweet? No, no. I feel like I made a bad decision.
We don't help Jason. We don't help Jason. he said Mars, and we're gonna go with that. Ian, you're next.
Dang it!
Well, I might go with. I might try to encourage Jason to revert to his earlier answer. Do we think?
So Ian is correct, and Jason, I don't know why you switched your answer, honestly, because it was completely Saturn. So I was a really good guess if that was not your
original. No, I know the answer, and then I just freaked out, and I was like, dude, because I just finished telling my son about Mars Needs Moms, so I just got confused. Yeah.
Well, sorry to get the second answer wrong, but that is incorrect. It is Saturn. So Ian. Next question. What do you call a large number of meteoroids occurring at the same time and place?
Well, that could be a number of different things, actually, Trey. I'm going to go with a shower. How does that sound?
Okay. Sounds good. Maybe. Jason?
I'm going to also go with a meteor shower. Okay. Not making fun of his voice. I just wanted to say it nice.
Fancy. Meteor shower. He said meteor shower. So you guys are both correct. It is a meteor shower. Yes. Congratulations. We're going to move on. We only have a couple more questions for this quiz because we want to get right into interviewing Mr. Ian. Jason, what causes high and low tides?
Trey moving.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The moon.
Okay. Ian, would you like to finish his answer?
Yeah, a little bit. I'll elaborate on that. And just say, I'll elaborate on that and say the gravitational effect of the moon.
So, and I'm going to actually ask this question to you. Is the sun not also involved?
The sun is involved to some extent, but primarily it's the moon.
Okay, phenomenal. You know what, Jason? I'll give you a point for that.
Yeah, yeah! I think it's worth it. I think he deserves a point for that.
Yeah.
I'll give you a point. Ian, who was the first person to travel into space?
Oh.
The first person to travel into space?
That's a trick.
Yes.
God, that's a really good question. I'm not sure whether I know the answer to that. Yuri Gagarin, maybe? He was the first guy in orbit, wasn't he? But he may not have been the first person in space. I don't know. I'm going to go Yuri Gagarin.
Oh, okay. Jason?
Your mama.
Your mama.
Sadly, that is not the correct answer. And Ian's actually right on the head. It is Yuri. It is Yuri. That's pretty cool. And now for the final question.
That's because I'm bitter about you literally just choosing something he would obviously be awesome at.
The coup de grace. This one's for the mansion and the yacht, folks. Anyone's game. This is the final question. No, it isn't.
It's not anybody's game.
Jason. Mm-hmm. What causes a solar eclipse?
All right, so it's when the moon and the sun intersect. That's not right.
Okay, Ian, same question.
Yeah, I'm gonna mirror Jason's answer there. Yeah, I'm gonna say it's the shadow of the moon. But yeah, the intersection is correct.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. You guys are both correct.
Yes.
But Ian has more correct.
Oh, you no! You said
you
it!
You win the quiz.
No!
I keep saying that. The last question's for anybody. But, you know, we have to give it to the guest because he got more right overall. So congratulations, Ian. You actually win our
I do like the live comment there from... Olaf Slayer 72. So I do appreciate that comment. Although I would say that if the sun does go between the moon and the earth, that wouldn't be an eclipse. That would be an apocalypse.
Oh, this is true. I would say we'd fry long before it would get there.
Yeah.
So yes, everyone's popping off, honestly. Rebecca is coming in saying a Russian guy. And I was like, I mean, you're not wrong. Astronaut X from Russia. We got sun, moon, shadow. Yes, perfect. This is all beautiful. But congratulations, Ian. You win our nice NFT, and it is the Jaime NFT.
Hey, look at that.
Okay, you got to do the cooler one. Here it goes.
Oh, wait, where is that?
That's in the video.
You gotta move that to the top. I got to move that to the top.
Well, no, because the countdowns are there. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Or then I'll do this so I can see it. I couldn't see it. I didn't know it was there. Yeah, anyway, you get a nice little Jaime NFT. Hopefully it'll be worth something someday. But we can send it to you in an email. That is our friend actually in the comments right now.
I can't
see. Yorusama 5011. He's a good friend of ours. But anyway, congratulations to the quiz. Jason,
thank you.
Why is Ian on our show today?
Well, when I asked Ian what we could do for a better year, he said, embrace your inner nerd. Open your mind to science. Why, Ian, do we need to embrace our inner nerd and open our mind up to science?
I do feel at the moment like there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. You know, a lot of our kids and stuff are getting kind of caught up playing on, you know, video games and just living in an online world, which is a great world and it's a great method of education. But I do feel like we're losing a little bit in terms of our in terms of our ability to stay in touch with the real world, with nature, with our planet, our solar system, our galaxy, our universe. And there's so much amazing stuff to learn and to see and experience within that, that I think bringing science back to the fore, embracing the fact that actually it is really nerdy. Some of it is really nerdy, but that's actually really cool at the moment as well. And, you know, it's quite fashionable. I don't know whether it is over there in the US, but it's pretty fashionable to be a nerd over here in the UK at the moment, and has been for a while. And I think that we all sort of manifest that in different ways with what we do. Some people go headlong into creative pastimes like music or art or poetry or whatever it may be. And science can just get a little bit lost in there. I think it's had a bit of a bad time since, you know, the stuff that went on a couple of years ago with the pandemic and stuff. Science [S2] Sure. [S1] Got a bit of a bad rap during that time. So it's time to put all that behind us now. And certainly my field was not involved in any of that stuff. So that's well, so that's kind of my message. Yeah, it definitely didn't come from Mark.
The aliens could have done it.
They could have done. For. Yeah, they could have.
They could have been
I have been on a few podcasts where that's been suggested. I don't buy into it personally, but so yeah, so that's what I think we can do for a better year. Embrace your inner nerd, open your mind up to science, go outside, look up at the sky. It's a big time machine. You can see millions of years into the past. There's lots of interesting stuff, and who knows what's out there. You know, it could be anything. So that'd be my message.
That's amazing. I mean, there for a while there, science and nerdiness was making a good run with the Big Bang Theory and all that stuff. It was like, we live this life. But now it's like, I can see now a lot of people are like, science, ooh, stay away. it's like, what? I'm like, come on, guys. That's how things work. But that's crazy. So what is it that you do? You told us a little bit. Why don't you explain a little more of that?
Sure. Yeah. So primarily I'm an astrophysicist. So I conduct a number of different research projects, primarily two that I'm involved in at the moment, which is the first is around exoplanets. Mm-hmm. So an exoplanet, for people that don't know that is, I don't know what that is any planet that's orbiting a star that's not our sun. So that is something that we found out fairly recently. I would like to say it's fairly recently. It feels like something that we should have known for 200 or 300 years, that there are thousands and thousands of planets out there in the universe, but we only actually found that out in the early 90s, which to me feels like it was yesterday. So that's quite new, a new area of study. And the second area that we focus on, which is very similar again, so the exoplanet study is really the study of the quest for finding life outside of planet Earth. And the second project is the SETI project in conjunction with UCLA, and that is the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. And that's something quite different. So life and intelligence, very, very different things. The exoplanet study, we're primarily probably just looking for water, evidence of a planet that can have liquid water on its surface. The SETI project, we're not looking for life as such. We're looking for intelligence or evidence of intelligence. And that would be probably something like a techno signature or, you know, a mobile phone signal from another planet or something of that nature. It would generally be the look for, you know, the search for technology. So they're the two projects. That's what I'm involved in primarily from a research perspective. I work for my own organization, The Average Scientist, and we are specialists on outreach. So I do lots of this type of stuff. I talk to guys like you, do that on podcasts. We make a few documentary films. I do it on live shows and all that type of thing. So generally just talking to people about science, trying to make it more accessible, trying to demystify some of the big subjects that, you know, that are that people find it hard to sort of understand, if you like, at a 10,000 foot view, and just try to bring that out to the masses. And I do that with a bunch of amazing people. We have got all sorts of different types of people in our organization, from hardcore scientists through to super amazing creative people, really amazing PR and media and organizers, and all of that team works as one well-oiled machine to bring all of our outreach activities to the general public. So that's what we do. Sounds like I've had a busy week when I've claimed that my headline was that I'd actually done nothing.
Yeah, you're like, I did lots of stuff. Yeah, that's amazing. And I think when I was learning more about you, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool to be able to do those things and be able to get people to like science or to even give themselves, you know, I am a self-proclaimed hip hop historian. So I'm always trying to get people to fall in love with hip hop, like the history of it. And so I understand how that works now, but I also don't have a team. My team is me and then Trey, and he's, you know,
but that's enough. That's enough. Yeah. Surely.
He's an amazing
team. It's more than enough for Jason. We'll just say that.
Wow. That's amazing. What, like, as a kid, what made you go, this is what I want to be, astrophysicist? Was it like, what was it that inspired you to actually move there? Or was it like you went to the wrong class and was like, well, I might as well?
Yeah, I thought I was going to a music class, and then I ended up a math nerd. What happened there? No, I did.
I tried out with a football team. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, no, I've always had a bit of a fascination actually with numbers, unsurprisingly. So that kind of grew. I was always quite good at math and stuff like that when I was at school. And I think that's kind of grown and matured over time. And as I went through a bit of schooling and a bit of study, I actually realized that it wasn't really numbers that I was fascinated with, but the gaps between them. If that makes sense. I can try and sort of elaborate on that a little bit, but that's what really fascinated me. You know, so if someone said to me, oh, you know, there's that thing over there is 50 miles away, I would be more interested in the distance between the two objects than the number. And that kind of grew more and more and more as things got further and further away that I was looking at, you know, like the moon. So when my friends were sort of putting Legos together or stuff like that when I was younger, and they were trying to figure out how that stuff worked, I was just wondering why the moon didn't fall out of the sky and crash into us, you know, that type of stuff. So I was always I was always kind of fascinated by that. And that did grow, as I say, into this fascination of the gaps between things, you know, like so in some of our live talks, I like sort of trying to articulate the difference between big numbers to people. So say, for example, a million. Can you imagine a million?
Not really.
Can we imagine a million as a number? It's hard, isn't it? So what about if we do it a different way? What about a million seconds? You imagine a million seconds, and I'll help you out with that. It's about 11 days. So it makes it easy, more contextual. What about a billion seconds?
It's a lot of seconds.
Well, because of Mr. Beast, I know what a million Orbeez looks like. Bigger. I'm just saying.
Well, a billion seconds is just over 30 years.
Wow.
When a million seconds is 11 days. Yeah. So it's a massive difference, isn't it? And I guess with these numbers, we just roll those numbers off, especially when we're talking about money. You know, say, oh, it's a million-dollar company, it's a billion-dollar company. The difference between those two numbers is huge. So, and it was that fascinated me, I think. And that's really what got me into it. Not the difference between a million and $1 billion, because I've not been anywhere near either of those numbers.
unless you do find life, that's not going to happen. No.
Ooh, we actually have a perfect question here. Jaime's coming in and he's saying, speaking of the moon, what practically happens if the Earth stops moving and or the moon flies off out of orbit?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think initially not much, so we wouldn't see too much change instantly with that. We would we'd sort of still carry on living our lives pretty practically. It wouldn't be a drastic change, but ultimately, as we know, the moon is responsible for a big ton of things. We touched on it earlier with the tides and things like that. So that's the first thing that's going to start to be affected. And actually, there's a lot of the natural world navigates by the magnetic field that's in existence between the moon and the Earth and the tides and things like that. So ultimately, we would see, you know, we're actually quite finely balanced. It's a very, very finely balanced system, the Earth and the moon and the solar system in general. You know, the fact that we're on a a perfect tilt of 23 point odd degrees, gives us our seasons and things like that. So any little sort of change to that system really ultimately is going to have quite a radical effect. So quite hard for me to say exactly what would happen there, but it wouldn't be good news for us, let's put it that way. It's very, very very, very fine-tuned system that we live in. So yeah, we'd cut the tides up pretty quick. That would be for sure.
You know, I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and so we've watched Despicable Me like 100 million times. And so every time they shrink the moon and the moon grows back in the middle of our atmosphere, I always go, I'm sorry, but that would do some damage. That wouldn't do it. That wouldn't just magically fix the problem. And so, sorry. I think that every time I watch that movie, I go, I imagine that would cause a lot of real problems. Like the whole sequels will just be totally different. Like just the gravity's all jacked.
Now, I actually want to ask that question. And this is just, it might be a dumb question, but since they did shrink the moon, they didn't, matter can't be created or destroyed, quote unquote, if that's the law of thermodynamics. If the moon was just shrunk, the matter wasn't destroyed, it was just shrunk. And if we're talking like, I guess, quantum physics at this state, I mean, it would still have an effect. It would just be closer to Earth. What do you feel like that would do? Like, what, I don't know. That's maybe a random question, but.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not a silly question at all. In fact, no questions. No questions are stupid questions, as far as I'm concerned. That's unless exactly Jason what science.
It's okay. Jake beat me to the punch. I was going to say the same thing. Yeah, of course, yeah.
It was just a case of who got it in first. Yeah. Trey's pretty sharp, though. That's about 3-0 so far in English money. it's a good question. And I think the answer to that is it's going to have a weird effect on gravity, because gravity is really gravity is the great sculptor of the universe, and its gravitational effect that really is the direct result of what we see from objects with different mass. So if an object has a huge amount of mass, then the gravitational effect around that is going to be much, much stronger. And we see that with some of the weird objects that we see in the universe. So we've got like things that we would, you know, sort of, I guess, understand as being huge objects, like a black hole, for example. So a black hole is, you know, if we imagine one of those in our heads, we think of it as this enormous object. And that's true. Generally, they are pretty big. But we can also have something like a neutron star. So a neutron star is like the stage before a black hole. So if you get an enormous normal main sequence star that comes to the end of its life and collapses, if it's a really enormous star, that will collapse into a black hole. If it's not quite, you know, at that maximum size to generate a black hole, the stage before a black hole is a neutron star. And those neutron stars are about the size of a city. So they're only about 20 kilometers, 15, 20 kilometers across, but they hold nearly the same mass as the original star. So these things, if we were to be able to travel to a neutron star and take just a single little tiny spoonful of material from the surface, it'd weigh about as much as planet Earth. So it's not a stupid question at all. It's a really good question. That's can insane. Can objects be massive without being large? Because those two things, and again, it's something that people confuse. That, you know, we use that quite interchangeably in language, don't we? We say, "Oh, that's massive," and by that we mean big, but that isn't true in you know, in astrophysics. Massive means actually a more accurate description of it would be dense. Be a more dense object than a large object, because you can have something that has got an incredible amount of mass, but is still a tiny object. So yeah, it's a really good question, and it would definitely play havoc with gravity. Most definitely.
And quite frankly, it's a kid's movie, so you're not going to think. Obviously, I mean, the cynics in there are like, "Oh, that wouldn't happen." It's like, well, it's an animated movie. No one cares about that right now. It's about thieves stealing the moon, and obviously, that's a whole YouTube documentary in and of itself. It's just what would actually happen when Gru, or I guess whatever. Well, yeah, when Gru shrunk the moon and he stole it. This is what would actually happen on Earth. That would be insanely fascinating for me. I guess my follow-up question is, what is the coolest thing that you've discovered while working for your company?
What is the coolest thing that I've discovered? I mean, we've certainly discovered some exoplanets, although we weren't, you know, the first people to discover those. We were in, you know, working in conjunction with wider teams of other people. So discovering an exoplanet is quite exciting. And depending then on what that exoplanet looks like, and I say I use the word look. When I say look, I don't mean we can visually see it. We look at the data that comes from a telescope to assist us to build a picture of what that planet looks like. So we know how massive it is. We know roughly what it's made of, and we know sort of the types of gases that are in its atmosphere and that sort of thing. And that can be, you know, we can find a large variety of these different planets, but what we're looking for ultimately is planets that exist in an area that we call the Goldilocks zone around the star. So an area that is not too hot, not too cold. It's just right, and just right for liquid water to exist on its surface. And if you find a rocky planet that exists in the Goldilocks zone around, in the habitable zone around a star, then you have got a planet that's very much like planet Earth. And that's always an exciting discovery, because we just don't know what might be on that planet. I mean, life sprung up on planet Earth pretty much as soon as it possibly could. Life is pretty resilient. You know, we find lots of different types of life on planet Earth, as well as just our standard, you know, dogs and cats and human beings and zoo animals and, you know, all that type of stuff, and plants and trees. All that stuff's great. But over the course of the last few years, we've come to study or be aware of these new strains of life called extremophiles. And extremophiles are exactly what they sound like. They're life that exists in the most extreme conditions. So, you know,
like some sort of,
yeah, similar to that. Yeah, certainly like I guess like in pools of sulfuric acid. Stuff can live in there. Stuff that uses that needs sulfuric acid to survive. Not just, it doesn't just tolerate sulfuric acid, it's a requirement of its existence. And then other stuff like we'll drill into don't you dare say life finds a way. Don't you dare. it doesn't find a way. And I that comment has made me laugh, and I agree. Yeah, I wasn't going to go there with it, but it is very, very resilient, very, very resilient. And I guess one of these other sort of situations that I was going to describe is where we drill into really old ice in places like the polar ice right. caps, where we've got, I don't know, 10,000 year old ice, 20,000 year old ice, maybe even older, to an area that's never seen the sun, never seen any sunlight at all. And we find little organisms living in that ice. And instead of, instead of a blood type substance, they have an excretion on the outside of the cells, which is like an antifreeze. So if you're a little tiny microorganism and you've got a little bit of antifreeze on the outside of your body, so to speak, all of a sudden you're not living in solid ice, you're living in a liquid ocean that you've made around you, even though it's very, very tiny. That's so insane. Life is very resilient. So when we do find things like exoplanets that exist in the habitable zone around stars elsewhere, and we've found a fair few of those, it is always exciting, because we're always a step closer to answering that question. You know, are we alone?
That's pretty awesome.
That's bananas.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I mean, these two projects do cross over as well. So we've got so there's this study, as I say, of exoplanets, where we would look in the atmospheres and things like that. And the way that this is done, for people that don't necessarily know how we would go about, how the hell would we go about finding an exoplanet somewhere? Well, it's actually remarkably simple how we do it. So we use a piece of NASA hardware. There's various bits of hardware that is possible to use, but the one that we're focused on is the TESS satellite, so Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite. And that is really just a big camera and a light sensor. That's pretty much all it is. So it focuses in on a star in the distant universe somewhere for a period of time, and it measures how bright that star is. So let's say for argument's sake that star is showing us a brightness of 10. Doesn't really matter what the brightness is, but let's imagine that the brightness is 10. And then every now and then we'll see that brightness reduce just a little bit. So it may reduce to 6, and then it will go back up to 10 again. And what that's telling us is something has passed between the star and Tess's light sensor. So if you have your little star there, you'll have something that passes physically between the camera, Tess's camera, and the star. And that is usually a planet transiting around in an orbit, and it blocks just a little tiny bit of light from the star, and we get a perfect graph that moves along like this, and then we get a U-shaped dip in it, and that is what we would call a transit or a light curve, and that's usually an orbiting exoplanet. So that's what we use to that's the method that we use to look for those. And you know, we've looked at thousands and thousands of these exoplanets with various different, and that's one method. There are a number of different methods we can use, but that's the method that I'm primarily focused on. Now, what's been happening over the last probably, I don't know, five or so years, maybe a few more, is that as we've been looking at more and more and more of these exoplanets, we become quite, quite knowledgeable and quite good at second guessing what the data is going to tell us. So if we see a particular star, we'll understand the size of that star, and then we'll see a planet orbiting around that. We can start to make a guess at what that planet might be made of, what might be in its atmosphere, how much light it should be reflecting, all that type of stuff, because we've seen so many of them before. And every now and then we just get an anomaly in the data. So we'll say, okay, this is a type of planet that we've seen 50, 60, 100, 500 times before, and it should be, our light curve should be telling us that it's moving from 10 to 6, but it isn't moving from 10 to 6, it's only moving from 10 to 8, and that's weird. And no one really understands why that is. Probably that the planet's made of different stuff, that's more likely, or there might be some more dense gases or something in the atmosphere that we don't understand. But there is a fringe area of science, and a growing fringe area of science at the moment, that is suggesting that actually what we're looking at is the correct size. It's just that the object is reflecting some light back towards the star. So it's not made of gas, and it's not made of rock, which is typically or ice, which are typically the three things that a planet would be made of. It's made of a more reflective substance, and that reflective substance is technology.
Yeah, no, that's...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was going to say that same thing. I was like, it was probably buildings and things like that. Or it's baby girls!
Oh, no!
I found life in another room!
Do you feel go ahead, sorry.
No, so I was gonna say that is a fringe area of science that's kind of growing, it's a reasonable shout. You know, if we think we're going through a bit of a global energy crisis at the moment, I think that's probably fair to say. It's the same in the UK as it is in the US and Canada, and all of the other countries around the world are suffering the same kind of problems, if you like. As we get more technologically capable and more advanced, we become more energy hungry. That's what civilizations do, they consume energy. And we have got a huge nuclear reactor in the sky every day chucking an enormous amount of energy down to the surface of our planet. So if we were smart, and we are smart, we would start to harness that energy by collecting it with solar collectors and using that. So all of our spacecraft and stuff like that are all powered by solar. All of our Mars rovers are all solar powered. We know it's a good source of free, clean energy. So if a technologically advanced civilization somewhere else in the universe was smart, that would also be what they did to harness the power of their star for energy. So that's one of the things.
Put solar panels all over the moon and just put a wire. that goes down to us.
Straight, you know what? That's absolutely not the stupidest idea. It really isn't. There was a guy. I think he was probably an American guy called Freeman Dyson a few years ago, and he theorized something called a Dyson sphere. Well, and Dyson sphere is a big shell that you build around the sun to harness all the energy, and then you drag a big wire back down to the earth and you power the earth with it. Now that sounds stupid, and it is stupid, but it was a theoretical experiment. But he diluted that idea to, instead of building a big shell around the sun, to just having lots of little satellites around the sun, and he called that a Dyson swarm. And we're seeing that technology now already. Elon Musk has launched that technology with Starlink. He's not using it to beam energy. He's using it to beam internet. But that technology exists already. And if we were smart, that's exactly what we'd do. We'd go and send a bunch of satellites out to the sun and let them orbit the sun and collect all the energy there, and then find a way to harness that and bring it back to the earth again.
Like so a giant Tesla coil?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I mean, honestly, we should find more ways to harness renewable energy. I mean, I know I feel like all stars and planets have an expiration date, but I mean, the sun's been going for who knows how long, and it's doing just fine. So,
yeah.
Ian, yeah, do you feel like we're close to light speed travel?
No. No, not at all.
How long do you think it would take?
I don't think it's necessarily achievable, Trey, at all. The problem for us is actually probably not necessarily accelerating to light speed, and this is something that's forgotten or not really talked about so much. We concentrate so much on how much energy is it going to take, how can we accelerate there. Our problem wouldn't necessarily be accelerating to light speed, it'd be slowing down again. You need as much energy to slow back down again as you do to speed up, and that's a real issue, actually.
Along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, I mean, obviously, just put windmills on it, and since you're going high speed, the windmills are going really, really fast. So they're charging the batteries. So then you have all the batteries to then.
Just put solar parachutes behind you. That, like, right, Jason? Just like that.
Nope, windmills. Though I understand how gravity works, and so that obviously wouldn't do anything. But in my mind, it makes sense if it's going really fast. Then it has the little spaceship with windmills all around it. It'd be funny.
Well, one thing that always sort of I think confuses people is the distance between stuff in space, and the distances, and that's a kind of, again, back to my earlier fascination of the gaps between things. So the Milky Way galaxy has got about 200 billion stars in it, something like that, a lot of stars. And the Andromeda galaxy, which is our nearest galactic neighbor, which is about 2.5 million light years away, so it's a long way away, has it's a little bit larger than the Milky Way, but let's say, for argument's sake, it's also got 200 billion stars in it. And we're actually on a collision course with Andromeda, and the two galaxies in the future, millions of years in the future, will collide. So that will be 200 billion stars from the Andromeda galaxy colliding with 200 billion stars from the Milky Way galaxy. Mm-hmm. And when that galactic collision happens, it's extremely likely that not a single star will hit another one. Wow. That's how far stuff is apart. Wow. We get fooled by science fiction, even with things like asteroid belts, you know, where we see something like, I don't know, Deep Impact or one of those movies where we see like this, the shuttle going through, and they're having to make all these evasive maneuvers and all that sort of thing to avoid all these asteroids. Asteroid belts aren't like that. The asteroids are 50,000 miles apart. You can just fly straight through an asteroid field. You'd be extremely unlucky if you hit one. Extremely unlucky. So this stuff is really, really far apart.
You're making me sad inside.
That's
I could really break Star Wars if you let me, but I don't know whether I could do that, could I? Can I just break it? Can I just break it for one minute?
Sure. Go for it.
Yeah. I'm gonna take exception to the laser weapons. In Star Wars, and the laser weapons, where I will look at you and I will fire a laser weapon at you at the speed of light, and you will see it coming and then avoid it. Just think about that for a minute. That is spectacularly unlikely.
Well, luckily for me, I believe in the Mandalorian life, and so it would just bounce off me, so it wouldn't matter.
But joking apart, I do love Star Wars, and science fiction does a lot for does a lot for science anyway. It is a perfect bridge between the two. So, yeah, we shouldn't diss Star Wars, even though I do enjoy it.
Bree's coming in saying, "Oh, there we go."
He's gonna break. He's gonna break Star Wars for everyone.
Rebecca asked, she had asked, "Do you think science fiction could come true?"
What part?
I mean, science,
we've heard a lot of it.
Yeah, science fiction turns into science fact all the time, and the next big thing to go from science fiction to science fact will be Martians. That's literally going to happen.
And yeah, because there will be us, right? Is that what you're talking about? Like us living on Mars?
We're going to have colonies on Mars.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big question, isn't it? I mean, I've got a few questions about that. Not for, you know, not just big questions for the governments of the world. Like, who owns it? If I go to Mars and I marry someone there and we have a child, what nationality is it? What passport does it have?
Luckily for you, Ian, you're on the show, and I just should know that I own Mars. So luckily
we do happen to have the King of Mars.
The King of Mars. That's me. And
Jason's
so
the King of Mars, and we're having a Facebook podcast.
And I don't know the moons around my place. Around
and
the
he
king.
Got the quiz wrong about our galaxy.
About
it's
the
okay.
Yeah.
He's only concerned with Mars. When you've got a whole
and
planet.
Not their moons. Yeah. You know.
I have to ask this next question. Do you believe in aliens?
It's a really good question, isn't it? And the answer to that is yes, I do. Without any doubt whatsoever. If you do my job, and I wouldn't say this about anyone else that doesn't do my job, so you guys, general public, but if you do my job and you are in possession of the kind of data and information, I feel like I'm going to have to explain this, the data and the information that I am, it is foolish to believe that we're on our own. It really is. It's so big, so many stars, life is so prevalent. I'm not going to say it finds a way. But yeah, there's so many chances. Actually, the chances of us being the only ones it's ridiculously small. And actually, it's petrifying to think that we might be the only ones. What a responsibility. Right. Yeah, no, it's you know, a huge responsibility to have this, you know, to be the only people on this island of meaning in amongst, you know, 200-300 billion galaxies, you know, unthinkable distances. Nobody would be least surprised if aliens landed on the White House lawn tomorrow than me.
Sure.
I don't think that that's going to happen, but nobody would be least surprised than me if that was to happen. So yeah, I absolutely do believe, but there's a difference between believing that that exists and believing that we're being visited currently, which I do not believe.
Jaime saying, "You a firm believer in Fermi or Fermi?"
Yeah, so I think what he's talking about here is the Fermi paradox. So for anybody that doesn't know what the Fermi paradox is,
no one does.
He was an Italian. I think he was an astronomer or an astrophysicist, maybe, or a philosopher or something. But he's like everybody's screw up mate at a party. You know, it's like when you go to a party, everyone's having a great time. There's always one guy, isn't there? There's just one guy that wants to ruin it for everybody. And in this in this instance, amongst these guys, it was Enrico Fermi, because they would go through all of this. You know, somebody like me would go and tell you that, oh, it's foolish to believe that we're alone and there's millions and billions of stars and galaxies. And Enrico Fermi just popped up and said, well, that's great, but if that's the case, where is everybody? And, you know, what a great question. So to answer that question there, am I a believer in the Fermi paradox? I think you have to be a believer in the Fermi paradox, because the universe is huge, and there are overwhelming likelihood that we're not alone. But yet we haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen any evidence of it. So there's another philosophical thing for people to think about here, which is called the Great Barrier, and it's a thought experiment. So the Great Barrier is an imaginary position, or an imaginary boundary, if you like, where a technologically capable civilization grows out of adolescence and becomes smart enough to explore the rest of the universe without blowing itself up. And the big question is, do we have that barrier behind us, or is it still in front, or is it still in front of us? So we may well be the first civilization in the universe to cross that barrier, to be smart enough to see out into the universe and start to think about exploring beyond our own planet, beyond our own solar system, without, you know, creating technology that ultimately destroys ourselves. We might just be the first people to do that. Ian, but equally, we may not be.
I feel like we could talk for another 4 hours.
Sure, yeah.
I definitely, Jason, I'm not trying to hog the show. I
feel like you are, Jaime.
Hey, you know what? Ian, I want you to have a chance to plug yourself and tell everybody where they can find you. If they have any questions, anything right now, I'm going to give you the screen so that you can plug yourself right now in 3, 2.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Jason, can you pop it off real quick?
Yeah.
Just so that it doesn't look silly. Okay. 3, 2, 1 and go.
Cool. Thanks. Well, firstly, thanks everyone for tuning in and listening and watching. It's been a pleasure to talk to these guys. If you like what you've heard here and you want to hear more from The Average Scientist, you can find that on our website. So you can go to www.theaveragescientist.co.uk or .com, whichever is your preference. They both lead you to the same place. And you can find us also on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, probably most prevalently at the moment on Facebook, which is where the majority of our content goes. But our other social channels are growing rapidly week by week as we put more content on there. You can email us, you can ask questions. There's a big bunch of stuff on the website you can do. You can read articles, explainers, you can watch videos. If you're in the UK, you can come and see one of our live events, which you'll find on the website under Task Talks. And you can also contact any of our writers or any of our staff members via the contact form on the website.
Awesome, man.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. No, so cool to have you. Jaime is going to try to reach out to you because he's going to want to steal you for his show, which is fine. Jaime's awesome. Probably like 15 times in the comments, he's like, Ian, you need me on my show. Ian, send me your information. Ian, I must have you because you aren't breaking to their dumb questions. So,
I do feel like there's been a few questions on there which we probably just haven't had a chance to get around to. But if anybody would like me to come on their podcast, then subject to diary availability, of course, I'd love to do that. So, yeah, absolutely, Jaime. Let's go.
Yeah, no,
he's ready.
He's very good. We love ourselves some Jaime, but no, it's so awesome to have you. And you know, he mentioned that he was like, oh, there's nothing to stump you. But one thing that you mentioned a little but didn't really mention is that you go to schools and stuff, so I imagine you get weird questions all the time, and you have to be like not fazed by it, or you'll get kids laughing at you. So it's like you kind of have to have that mentality.
You do, yeah. And I think one of the things that you have to get comfortable with really quickly as a scientist is being wrong. So I think it's one thing that scientists are really good at. They're really good at being wrong, admitting they're wrong. We're really good. I'm really good at saying I don't know. You know, just because I study this stuff doesn't mean that I don't have to Google how to work out the volume of a sphere sometimes or something, if that's what I'm doing. You know, you can't hold all of this knowledge in your head all the time. And kids really do genuinely ask the best questions because they're just so brutal to the truth all the time. And one particular instance which make you guys laugh, but I'd done this this live talk to a bunch of kids, and I think they're probably 10 or 11 years of age or something like that. And we were talking about just gravity. So we're saying, okay, you know, gravity is what makes you stick to the earth. And if you go and live on a bigger planet, then you'll, you know, you'll be a little bit heavier. And if you go and live on a smaller planet, then you'll be a little bit lighter, which is why you see people floating around on the moon and stuff. And it was all this nice explanation. And we kind of finished the general public address part of the talk, if you like. And then I just took some questions afterwards. And there's just one little guy, probably 10 or 11 year old boy, who said to me, I've got a question about gravity. And I was like, okay, no problem. You know, this is no problem. I'm an astrophysicist. What possibly can a 10 year old ask me that I'm not going to just be out to beat you down? And he asked me if gravity was pushing him or pulling him. And I just sort of laughed at that. And I was like, man, you know the answers both. That's why you've asked me that question. So it was a really kids just ask the best questions because they're so inquisitive, aren't they, without any hidden agenda or anything. And I love talking to kids. I love inspiring kids into science careers from avenues that they didn't think was possible, because that's become a thing over the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. People coming into science careers from non-traditional routes. So traditionally in the UK, you'd go to a school. If you want to be a scientist, you probably have to go to a good school as well, not just any old school. So a good school, you go to uni, you'd do a Bachelor of Science, you'd go on and do a Master's, you'd go on and do a PhD, then you do some postgraduate research, you go and work in academia. That's the route. Well, that is not the route that everybody has to take into science now at all. If you want to be a hardcore researcher, that's probably the route that you're going to have to take. But if you want a career and you want to work within the science, technology, engineering and mathematics fields, there are a bunch of other ways that you can do it. And one of the best ways at the moment, or one of the things that science is crying out for, is people that work in the arts. So people that are creative with music and poetry and graphics and things like that. All of these are really important because that is the way that we talk to people. So one of the primary reasons for coming on your podcast, as well as it being just cool, was because you do your freestyle rap. What an amazing way to do that. And I will play that at our live talks if you guys let me do that, because I just think it's such a cool way for people to receive science. Nobody's done that before. And if we do things that people don't do, then people will take notice of them. And you know, as much as I want to stand up there like Sheldon Cooper with a whiteboard full of equations and educate everybody, nobody will listen to me. But they will listen to raps, they will listen to, or they will look at amazing graphics and interactive things that we create. So if we want to get the good message of science across and we want to keep people interested in it, we have to deliver it in a format that's interesting, not just equations on a whiteboard. So it is cool, and thank you for what you do. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, Ian. Thank you so much, man. And Jason, that's a perfect segue into our next segment. Do you want to hit it, or do you want me to hit it? Hello, Jason? You are muted. You are muted. Plot twist.
You muted me. I didn't mute me.
I'm sorry. There was something going on. For the rap. All right, let's get it.
All right, so first, real quick, Ian, I'll tell you this later, but we gladly will do this freestyle, but honestly, if you'd like a more focused one, I can actually record that, and Trey could hook you up with a really cool beat that you can actually use for actual points that you want. So if you just told me, if you give me like 4 or 5 points in later, I can actually record a really nice one for you that you could use for that situation.
Oh, that would be cool. Thank you, guys. Yeah, we'd very much like that.
I have, as I said, if I can do anything to help you do what you do, I gladly would. And I know Trey agrees. So, but because this is going to be terrible, but I'm going to do my best. So, but
all right. So, Ian, do you have a stage name, a nickname, anything that somebody's given you that we can use right here, right now? Now, you won't be doing any rapping or anything. You'll just be sitting back, maxing and relaxing.
I don't have a nickname though, but for the entertainment purposes of some of the guys that I work with, you might want to call me Big Steve. I feel like I should explain that probably later on, but will make at least one or two people who I know are tuned in laugh quite a lot.
Perfect. Awesome. Okay, Jason, are you ready? Oh, yeah. Well, Ask him what he wants. All
right, so what would you like me, as I said, we can do that for future purposes, but right now, what would you like me to rap about? What would you like the song to be about? What do you want? What do we want the focus to be on?
I want the focus to be on getting people interested in science by listening to rap instead of looking at whiteboards.
All right. Yeah. And, perfect. What's a fun fact that I can add into this rap? A scientific fact that would make this rap fun.
No one can hear your scream in space.
Yeah, that's actually quite a good one. Yeah. I don't know. Let's think. There's a planet in our solar system inhabited solely by robot aliens. That's true. It's Mars. The robots are out.
That's great. You're right. You're totally correct. That is hilarious.
Rovers, stars, planets, moon, sun, I know Milky all that. Way.
And then anybody in the comments, put one word into the comment, and I will use your word into the rap. So Jaime already knows, all us later knows, but Rebecca, if you have a word, just put it in. Don't put all your words in there in one comment, because we're going to show them, so it's easier if you just do one per comment. You can put 100 comments for all I care, but just put one word. You can even do that while I'm rapping. Don't stress about doing it right now. Just have fun. This is what I get for that. Is that spaghettiification?
Spaghetti. Yeah, that's a challenging rhyme. That is.
Oh, I got this. I'm a professional. Oh, as I said, I rap in front of kids all the time. You know how many dumb, crazy words I've gotten? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Like, all right, all the time. Go for it. I'm sorry, right, Trey.
I love you. I'm sorry. It's 105.
Yo, 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 we got DJ Sound Effects, Scout the Psalmist, and Big Steve on the mic. Woo! Let's get...
Yeah. Okay, now we talking to Big Steve, I mean Ian Hall. We break it back down, I could tell them all, y'all. If you know the scientific situation that we go with spaghettification, I can break it all flow. I tried one time, but I'll do it again. Spaghettification, if I feeling it, win. Only if I couldn't do it, but I'm giving again. I wasn't looking for a person like I'm living it in. Did you know that there's a planet in our solar system that's roamed by aliens and filling them really robots? Only if you can't break it inside, it's called Mars, dude. Don't you try. I made it all only if I couldn't make them cry. But a Higgs bison prison with a nighttime try. But now I know that sometimes I gotta cry with teardrops rolling down my face and my eye as the moon grows. As I watch Despicable Me, I'm wondering, what will that mass do to me if I rearrange everything inside the time? Now I gotta breathe it because I'm wondering why. What am I gonna talk about? If I go, we got so much science I'm thinking, do I know? And soon there will be Martians, you know, and I will be the king of Mars. I'll let it go. But yo, sometimes I'm feeling back my flow. I did it like forever, but I'm doing what I don't know. Yo, bro, I'm sitting in the studio twice as nice when I was thinking like I never know. Oh, what am I doing in the day? But now I gotta move all them words that I say. As Ian's in the schools talking to these people about science, if he never gotta turn it up and out. And yes, he has a whiteboard, but all he does is draw little stick figures and asteroids, y'all. And then I'm tripping because I'm giving what I do. Only if I knew sometimes I'm standing in a zoo. Oh, and when we find those exoplanets or XOXO, I love those on planets. And only if I can't see them all together. I knew sometimes said he was filling forever. But now we do it all because we're looking for extraterrestrial life. E.T., he's trying to get it right. Why the dude didn't have shorts on, I still don't understand that. If I never break down, you have a spacecraft. You should be able to board clothes. You should break it down. You should have a nose. I don't know what I don't know. Sometimes I could go, but we talk about science and I'm about to explode. And oh, hopefully I get enough out of it. Only if I knew what I was doing, can't stop of it. That's so crazy. The asteroid things wouldn't be enough. Only if I couldn't want to scream out loud. But now sometimes I'm wondering how brown cows get chocolate milk. Wow, that's science. No, well, believe me. Sometimes I'm waiting back and now I really see me. Ha!
I hope you thoroughly enjoyed that, Ian.
That was amazing. That was amazing. Did you see
that comment that went across the screen? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Jason, do you know what we're talking about?
No.
Oh, you As you're rapping, you literally spit like one little fleck onto your camera, and it looked like an orb that just hit your webcam.
It was an orbit, though. It was like an orbit. It was pretty cool.
It looked it so worked. Good. I'm not going to lie. It was kind of weird, but it looked good. That's hilarious.
No, I'm not paying attention to anything when I'm doing it. Like, I do have to use my brain, so.
Rebecca says, that's science. And she said, booyah. But before that, she said, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, the most impressive part is Trey's beatboxing, of course.
No.
Yes.
I appreciate you,
Jason. That was cool. He's so
good at what he does. Oh, he's so special. Well, that is so amazing. Thank you so much, Ian. We did a little extra long episode than normal, mainly because you were saying cool stuff and I wanted to listen. And that's where we're at with that.
We didn't want to talk. We wanted to hear you talk.
Yeah. I was like, I have to still make funny stuff happen in this show. We're not a science show. We're not on NPR. Man, I really appreciate it. So cool to have you on. We gladly would have you on again because it sounds like we could talk about so much more stuff. And so,
yeah, I'd love that.
And Trey's already offered to actually do an entire podcast of just the science of the movie Despicable Me. So
I might have to break that down at some stage.
Yeah,
could you imagine that'd be a pretty great YouTube video. I really appreciate everybody that's listening to the show. It's my light, guys. I'm sorry. Is that better?
He said Jason's saying, why is Jason so foggy? Just now noticed that. Now you look so much better.
I fix it. I have a new lighting situation, guys. And so it's
leave my man alone. Okay.
Yeah, that? No, I moved the thing so it wouldn't reflect on the poster, but then I used my mic to cover up the reflection so you see my entire studio, but then mic covers it up. You don't even know. So
Jason, who are sponsors?
We literally don't have any.
Nobody. Okay, cool.
But if you want a new website, go to nomadweb.design. They're pretty awesome. That's a pretty one. If you're looking for cool graphics, go over to Boss. I forget. Oh man, I messed it all up. Boss Graphics. Just ask me about the graphics, and I'll send you his information. He's great. Do we have any others? You're in San Antonio. Go to Night Watch Games. He's not a sponsor, but go do that. It's fun. I think that's
he's
all.
Texas.
And if you really want a podcast after listening to our podcast and don't think you've got enough information, then you go listen to my other podcast, Jason Talks About Everything.
Oh, I did not expect you to say that. Actually,
no, that's because I was gonna say go to the Social on Distancing show and listen to Jaime.
Gosh. Oh no, he did it.
If anything,
somebody else's show.
If anything, just watch the first 30 seconds so you can see my amazing work on the intro that I made.
Oh yeah.
Ian might
actually love that.
It's a space intro, Ian, that I made.
That is cool.
When you're on the show, you'll see it.
Notch, not gonna lie.
He is asking what your LinkedIn is. You're going to get a new stalker, and I apologize for this, but
we quite like stalkers. Yeah. you can probably find me on LinkedIn by just using my name, but he's absolutely welcome to email me at ian@theaveragescientist.co.uk and I will get right back to him.
All right. He does a good show. So
cool.
Jason, you want to hit him up with the three questions and we can pretty much wrap up.
All right, so now what you're going to do is we're going to do the psychiatrist bit where you get to be Trey's psychiatrist. Yeah,
psychiatrist.
I really thought I said gynecologist. I'm pretty sure.
Nope, not that.
Yeah, so I stopped myself, and then I realized that's not what I said.
that is not it.
So, all right, this is your time to be Trey's therapist. Let me turn on some music here, unless Trey does it. All right, and Ian, now it's your turn to welcome Trey to his therapy session.
Three well, questions, you. They can be literally anything.
And if you need any help, just call your mentor, Dr. Jason.
No problem. Thank you, Dr. Jason. Trey, I'd like to start off by asking you about something that I've read in the media this week, which was that you thought the earth was flat. Do you want to just talk us through that?
You know, Ian, I really appreciate you asking this question. I've honestly spent the past couple of nights doing my research, and quite frankly, there's nothing to prove that we're not all sitting on a flying saucer right now. And what I mean by that is our planet is flat. And that's what I think, because all the research that I have taken care of in the past three nights pondering over is it's just these flat discs that we're on right now. That's what the planets are. They're just discs.
I think you've thoroughly covered the research there, especially spending as long as 3 days on it. I think that's definitely. And I did hear as well about this strange obsession that you've got with Despicable Me. Now it's becoming a bit out of control, isn't it? Because I spoke to a mutual friend, and he told me about the incident that happened last Friday night in the bar. Do you want to share that with everybody?
Okay, look, this was not a drunken disorderly thing. Okay, I had a little too much to drink, but I wasn't quite drunk. But I had the perfect idea of getting everyone dressed in yellow there to become my minions, and immediately hopping up onto the bar and saying, "Tonight we steal the moon!" And then everyone went buck wild. And I don't know, after that I kind of blacked out, because I think I got hit by some foreign object that got thrown at me, and then I woke up and there was people dressed in yellow and with goggles on flying all over the place. And it caused a big scene, and they blame me, and I stayed in jail for the night. So, sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, I think at least that's cleared that up for everyone. And the last thing not really something that I want to ask you about, it's something that I just want to bring to your attention, because I don't know if you knew that this was happening or not, but if you just look over your right shoulder and up, creepily, we are being watched by the King of Mars.
I see you, my children. I only rule robots and aliens now, and now I will rule you when you visit me in Mars.
You know what? I really appreciate you saying that, because I would expect the King of Mars to be round.
We are not alone.
By the way, Trey, I also wanted to give you the information that you're expecting a minion child, so it's very weird not really ready for the situation from that night. So someone went a little crazy, but now you're the father.
It's the circle of life. Ian, I appreciate you being on the show, man. Thank you so much. I was super fascinated by just literally all the science that you were talking about today, and all the questions that you answered. I think we covered I was trying to come up with something clever right there. We covered a lot. I was going to say crazy scientific term, but nothing came to mind. But thank you so much for being on the show, man. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to meet you guys, and to talk to you about science, and also to have a laugh as well. It's not very often that I do podcasts that are genuinely, great fun with, I always do them with great people, but they're often quite serious and straight laced. So this has been an absolute breath of fresh air. And I think it'll be really helpful for our audience to see science discussed in this way as well. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man. Jason,
I said, so awesome to have you, and we really appreciate it. Make sure, guys, that you like and subscribe to this this video, that you go check us on YouTube, that you go check out our TikTok, that you go check out our shorts. They check our shorts, because we have our own new Flows for You shorts that you can pick up on the web page. No, that's not a thing.
Oh my gosh, that actually be kind of cool.
Yeah,
it would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I really need to work on the merch, but I really just need to get people to know our show exists. Oh, something funny happened.
I always said Jason and Terry are not serious. My name is Trey. How dare you? He said that they grow on you like a barnacle. Freaking egg. We have to end the show on that, Jason. Ian, you are more than welcome to come back on the show. You've been an amazing guest, but without further ado, flows for you.
This is what we do now. This is what we do, like barnacles.
Like, oh my gosh. Ian, stay on. We'd love to chat for you just for a second after the show.
Sure.
We love you guys. Take care. Have a good night.
Are you looking for a different kind of podcast? How about informative and clean? It will make you laugh. Scout and Trey, yeah, that's what we do. We got a little funny thing, keeping it true. Hey, we take your topics and all your ideas and bring in a guest and we answer them there. Then we make a freestyle rap and do it for you. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah, that's what we do. Yep. Flows for you, flows for you. This is what we do now. This is what we do. Say flows for you, flows for you. This is what we do now. This is what we do. Say flows for you, flows for you.